Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 138, Intro to Air Fryers. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, having more fun, learning new things. And today I have a completely new topic to get into with you. We're going to talk about air fryers. I know many of you have wanted me to talk about this for a while. And truth be told, I didn't own an air fryer, so it was kind of hard for me to really get my arms around it, so to speak. But I've had an air fryer for a few months now, and I've been playing with it. And I thought now would be a good time, because it came up again in the Facebook group, to put an episode together and talk about air fryers. So we'll get to that in a moment. I also want to mention that I do owe everyone a recap episode on my trip to New Orleans that my brother and I made in mid-July. And I do, mid-June rather, and I do plan on getting that out soon. It's been so crazy. I haven't had a weekend at home for about a month. And this is my first weekend I've actually not had anything planned out of town for various reasons. So it's the first chance I've had to sit down and really work on anything. So I'm going to be getting that out really soon too. So this week, the week of July 7th, you might see a couple episodes and I have a smorgasbord on the way as well. So we're going to load up on some episodes, hopefully in the real near future. Also worth mentioning that if you want to get a hold of me, you know, you can always do that over at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can send an email to me that way. I love reading the emails that I get, and I answer each and every one of them, or at least I try to. Facebook's also a great place to get a hold of me. You can either check out the Facebook page over at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast, or even better, if you want to have a little bit more interaction, you could head over and check out the Facebook group for the Kitchen Counter. It's called the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break, and we have lots of cool people in there who share images of the food they're making, tips, post questions, all that kind of stuff. You can find that easily by going over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group, and it will take you to the Facebook page where you can ask to join the Facebook group. And, you know, by the way, that group is all about home cooks and home cooking. There's no spam. There's no selling. There's nothing like that. It's a private group, so not just anybody can jump in there, and we keep a close eye on things. So it really is a pretty cool little group we've got going on over there. So definitely check that out if that's of interest. See, I'm trying to think what else I should mention. I know the last episode I recorded in Houston International Airport. That's when I was doing the outdoor cooking episode with Carl Kugler. If you haven't listened to that and you have any interest at all in out of doors cooking, beyond just grilling, I think you should go check that out over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/137, which reminds me, this particular episode show notes, the intro to air fryers, will be over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/138. All right, I guess I have nothing else to say in general housekeeping, so why don't we jump right into the episodes and talk about air fryers. Well, as I mentioned, this has come up a few times in the past, and I haven't had an air fryer for very long. In fact, I didn't have one in the past, so it really kind of prevented me from getting into talking about them. In fact, I didn't really even understand them. I hadn't taken the time to dive in and really understand what an air fryer was. Had some family members and some friends who had air fryers and really, really loved them. So I thought, well, I'm going to go get one. I got a small air fryer to experiment with because I really wanted to talk about it on the show with some firsthand knowledge. So I rolled over to Walmart about 3 months ago and just kind of looked at what they had in stock, and I ended up getting a Farberware air fryer. I got a really small one. I think it's a 2-quart air fryer. It was $40, so really reasonably priced. And because I didn't know if I was going to keep this or use this long term or what I was going to think about it, I didn't want to spend a lot of money to get a big air fryer. So I bought, again, just kind of a small one to experiment with. And I'll put the links to that particular air fryer in the show notes. And I'll put some links to some other ones I've read about in the show notes as well. So if you're interested, you can roll over there to the show notes and take a look. But I feel like before I can even get really deep into talking about air fryers, we kind of have to address sort of an elephant in the room, if you will. And that is the fact that when we're talking about an air fryer, we're actually talking about a machine that doesn't fry anything. So interestingly, the name air fryer is quite a bit of a misnomer, again, because it doesn't do any frying, really. When you think of frying, and when I think of frying, I usually think one of two things. I have a vessel on the top of my stove with some quantity of oil or other fat in it at a fairly high temperature, and I'm putting something in it and frying it. Or I'm thinking of deep fat frying, where I am, you know, I have a vessel, again, maybe it's a high-sided Dutch oven, or it's a dedicated deep frying machine filled with hot oil. I'm actually lowering foods into it and cooking it by deep fat frying. So that's what I think of typically when I think of cooking and frying. But an air fryer is not that at all. It's a little bit of marketing magic. So what actually is an air fryer? Well, really what an air fryer is a compact tabletop convection oven, a high-powered tabletop convection oven, because it works exactly the same way that a convection oven worked. I actually did an episode on convection ovens a little ways back, or maybe it wasn't a dedicated episode, but I talked about it in a smorgasbord episode. Either way, I'll put the links to that in the show notes, but here's a refresher on what a convection oven is. So a regular oven, like the one you have in your kitchen, if it's not a convection, is a box with heating elements inside that you heat to a certain temperature, into which you put food, you shut the door, and the heat of the elements heats the oven up and it cooks the food. Of course, some ovens have other features like a broil element on the top and things like that. But what a convection oven is it adds sort of an extra element to the idea of a regular oven, and that is the element of circulating air. So if you look inside, if you have a convection oven or a convection setting on your oven at home, you should see probably, if you pop open the oven door, a big fan, at least one big fan probably in the back of the oven. And when it's on convection mode, that fan circulates and it sends hot air whirling around the oven. And that results typically in an environment that cooks food a little bit quicker, a little bit more evenly, cooks things where they get nice and crispy on the outside and stay moist and tender on the inside, for example. Convection also helps you utilize more than one rack of your oven. So if you've ever tried to bake cookies in a regular non-convection oven, you know that sometimes the cookies on the lower oven shelf don't get done quite in the same way the cookies on the upper oven shelf are. And sometimes you have to turn trays and flip trays around in order for everything to get done nice and evenly. Well, with a convection oven, that doesn't matter because the air is circulating and it's heating everything evenly inside that oven, regardless of where it is in position. So that's what a convection oven is, and that's what an air fryer is, essentially. It's a little oven unit that circulates air at a high temperature around the food that you're quote-unquote air frying. So banish the idea that you're basically deep fat frying in a new healthy way. That's really not what's happening. You're actually convection roasting or convection baking things in a slightly different way. Then that's not a bad thing, because there are some advantages to the way a air fryer does things. And one analogy that just popped in my head. So do you have or have you seen a space heater, right? Those are those little, they can range anywhere from like toaster size to a little bit bigger. They're little portable heaters. You plug into the wall, you turn it on. There's a fan inside that blows air through like a heating element, and it heats up whatever space you put that space heater into, right? So imagine you're in your master bedroom. Let's say it's a fairly large room. You have a little space heater and you want to heat up the room. So you plug it in, you crank it up, and it'll heat up the room slowly. It might make it nice and comfortable, eventually maybe a little bit toasty in there, but that's about it, right? That's like your convection oven. Now imagine taking that space heater and going down the hall with an extension cord and hopping into your hall closet, barely big enough for one person, we'll say, and you get in there and you shut the door and you turn your space heater on in that small enclosed space. Oh, And let's say that you can crank up the fan of your space heater like two or three times faster than it ordinarily goes. You're going to get really hot in there really fast, right? It's a much smaller space, a little more intense air circulation and temperature happening. That's kind of like an air fryer. I know it's not a perfect analogy, but I hope that kind of illustrates what we're talking about. It's a very compact space, heats food and cooks food very efficiently. So basically take all the good things of a convection oven, shrink it down into a tabletop model with a very efficient use of space, and you've got yourself an air fryer. Now, I'm harping on and on about this distinction because I don't want people who have never used an air fryer to think that they can do everything that they would do in a deep fryer or in oil on the stovetop. I don't want them to think they can do all of that in an air fryer. You can do a lot of that, but not everything. That's why I'm saying it's much better to think of an air fryer as if you can do it in a convection oven, you could do it in an air fryer. So one really simple example that pops right into my brain is that you can't really use anything battered in an air fryer like you could in oil, right? So if you want beer battered onion rings, that's not going to work in an air fryer because the batter is just kind of going to drip and burn, and it doesn't get that instant immersion and cook that it does like in deep fat frying. You're not going to be able to deep fry like donuts. Like if you want to make French curlers, you're not going to be able to do that in an air fryer, for example. So there are some things that an air fryer can't do if you think of it strictly in terms of a substitute for deep frying or frying in oil. So before I get too much into the things you can and can't make in it, let's dive just a little bit deeper into the actual mechanics of air fryers themselves. So most air fryers look like, depending on the size, they kind of look like a cross between a rice cooker. They're about the size of a Keurig coffee machine. I mean, they're kind of in that range, again, depending on how big they are. They typically have a temperature and a timer setting. The one I have, inexpensive, is just analog dials. Some machines are much more sophisticated with digital settings and other, you know, built-in presets and things like that. But the bottom half or the bottom third or so of this air fryer has a basket that you remove. And again, mine feels just like I would be sliding like a coffee filter tray in and out of a coffee maker, right? It's that kind of a thing. It's got a handle. I pull it out, inside of which is a basket with a removable tray with perforated holes in the bottom of that tray, which allow for air circulation to go around your food. And on top of that tray in the basket is where you place the food you're going to air fry. You pop it in there, and then you slide the tray back into the air fryer, you know, and turn it on, and it will start its magic. Again, inside that air fryer, most of which I think go up to 400 degrees or so, and have a high-powered fan, is so really hot air blowing very rapidly around the food you've put in there. Now, you're not immersing anything in oil, but your food does need some sort of a fat or oil to really realize the full benefits of air frying. So typically what you'll do, again, depending on what you're making, is you might brush your food with some oil or toss it in a bowl with a little bit of oil, or perhaps spray. If you have an oil sprayer device at home, you can put some vegetable oil or olive oil in. You can use that to spray your food. But the reason people love it so much and tout the health benefits is a little bit of sprayed on oil or a little bit of brushed on oil is vastly different than deep frying or, you know, immersing your food in oil on the stovetop. So as the air fryer begins to circulate the really hot air at whatever temperature you've set, it'll start cooking the food that you've put in that basket. Most recipes or most techniques with an air fryer require you at some point in the middle of the time that it's cooking, you know, to pull that basket out, kind of toss the ingredients around to distribute them more evenly, let the air circulation get to everything, and you pop it back in and you let it finish. And then when it's done, again, you simply pop that basket out and your food's ready to go. So again, all of that really just describes convection technology, right? Some food with a little bit of oil in a high heat environment with air circulation. So that's how an air fryer, quote unquote, fries the food that you put into it. And again, it sort of simulates that fried texture on a lot of food because that superheated high-speed air really dries out the food and allows it to crisp up very nicely. So some foods come out feeling like they've been deep fried. I mean, they will have a very similar texture, a very similar crunch and crispiness as they would as if they were fried in oil. So that's where people kind of look at this as sort of a great substitution for fat frying. So now we understand what an air fryer is and how it works. Well, what can we actually make in an air fryer then? Once again, rule of thumb is if you can make it in a convection oven, you could make it in an air fryer. But recently I've been trying a lot of different things in the air fryer that I have. And I really haven't found, you know, knowing the simple rules that I'm not putting anything battered in it, I really haven't found anything that it hasn't done a pretty decent job at. So think of things like roasting vegetables. It is very, very good at roasting vegetables. Carrots, broccoli, cauliflower, roasted zucchini, other root vegetables, potatoes. It makes really great French fries. It makes really good potato chips. So any vegetable that you could think of roasting in the oven, you could do in an air fryer and you get pretty good results. Meats are actually quite nice in an air fryer as well. If you listen to the chicken wing episode I did with Hiro a couple of episodes back, you'll know that the air fryer is Hiro's favorite method for making chicken wings. And that's because it makes a really crispy wing based on for all the reasons I just went through with the circulation of air and the oil. But chicken wings, any chicken parts, breasts, chicken tenders, legs, you could do meatballs, pork chops, bacon. You could make hamburger patties in an air fryer. You could make steaks in an air fryer. I'm going to talk about some of the drawbacks of air frying in a little bit. So just know in the back of your mind, I'm going to get around to that when I'm mentioning all of these things you can make in an air fryer. There are some limitations to what I would consider limitations to air frying. But if you can get it into your air fryer basket, you could probably cook it. I actually picked up a cookbook by Meredith Lawrence. She runs a blog called The Blue Jean Kitchen. And she has a book out called Air Fry Everything. And, you know, just as it is with every new kitchen item that comes out, kitchen gadget, appliance, whatever you want to call it, there's a billion cookbooks. And there are a lot of good cookbooks out. I really do like this one. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But she's got recipes in there for desserts even, you know, turnovers and hand pies, empanadas. I made a little baked egg in a ramekin that I put inside the air fryer. So again, if you can fit it in your air fryer basket, you can put other vessels in there, like little muffin tins or, you know, mini cake pans or whatever. She's got recipes for making grilled cheese in the air fryer, which I haven't tried yet, but it looks very intriguing. And there's a ton of other just snacky type items you can make. One of my favorite things to make in my air fryer are crispy chickpeas. You know, you can, they're a hot snack item, right? In the stores, they cost a fortune, but you can buy crispy fried chickpeas that are seasoned. And I've never been able to make them at home to my satisfaction in my oven, in even on convection setting. They just never quite got crispy. They were always kind of gummy. But I find that putting them in the air fryer makes them very crispy. I mean, they're about like what I would expect to get from the commercially prepared products. And I can throw a little bit of oil and whatever seasonings I want on them. I just made some today that were Cajun spice flavored. They were great. So really, your imagination is the limit. I know that's such a hackneyed thing to say, but it is kind of true when it comes to an air fryer. Again, if it can be made in a convection oven, it can likely be made in an air fryer. You know, when I talk about things like onion rings and the beer battered onion rings, so you're not going to make battered onion rings, but you're probably going to use a technique like dredging through flour and then egg and then maybe breadcrumbs or panko breadcrumbs or cornflake, crushed cornflakes or whatever. So they're going to be more breaded types of food rather than battered types of food that you might make in a deep fat fryer. So I'll put links to Meredith's Air Fry Everything cookbook in the show notes. I'll also find some other blogs that have a lot of information on air frying, and I'll put links to those in the show notes as well. I don't want to get into a lot of specific recipes right now because I feel like I would just get bogged down. And I really kind of want to keep this high level when it comes to air frying because I have some pros and some cons, some drawbacks I want you to keep in mind and to look out for if you're considering an air fryer or if you already got one, you're just kind of getting into it. But before I go into that, the other thing I will say about recipes is it's quite easy to adapt most recipes to work in an air fryer, even if they weren't specifically written to work in an air fryer. Just like all convection ovens, they tend to cook a little bit faster. So you typically want to take whatever your regular recipe is and adjust it down, you know, 20, 25% either temperature or time, right? So again, in that convection oven conversation I had in that smorgasbord episode, I mentioned adjust one or the other. So if you have a recipe that calls for cooking something for 20 minutes at 400 degrees Fahrenheit, you probably either want to adjust it down time or temperature. So cook it for 20 at 350 Fahrenheit or cook it for 15 minutes at 400 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, your mileage may vary depending on your oven and how you like your food to turn out. And of course, you should always keep your eyes on your food while you're cooking like that so you don't go overboard and end up burning anything. But most recipes and even pre-prepared meals like frozen foods, you can make in an air fryer with just some slight adjustments to the recipe that the packaging calls for. Okay, so air fryers sound pretty awesome, and I think they are pretty awesome, actually, to be honest with you. I don't know if I would put it up there as high as some other recent breakout kitchen gadgets like the Instant Pot, but it has some merit. And I think for the home cook, I think the biggest positives about air fryers are, one, they're relatively small. They don't take up a lot of counter space, and they're relatively inexpensive. You would probably be hard-pressed to find air fryers over $100 for the larger models. There are a few out there, but by and large, I think you're looking at anywhere from the $50 to the $99 range for an air fryer. These would be great for an apartment use if you don't have a lot of space. Or, you know, these would also be great for college students. I think they can make a lot of different foods for themselves relatively easy if they had, a fairly small air fryer. And they're safe to use. You know, it's not like deep fat frying where you've got this vat of hot oil that you don't want to, you know, get too hot and have it start smoking or catch on fire or knock it over and spill it everywhere. And they're relatively easy to deal with after the fact, right? You just wipe out the basket and, wash it out, and that's about it. Where deep fat frying, you've got all this oil you've got to dispose of, and it's just kind of a hassle. So I think the size is one advantage to the air fryers. It does do a nice job crisping up foods that maybe you can't quite achieve in a regular size oven or even a regular size convection oven. So again, going back to the chicken wings, it does make pretty dang good chicken wings. I still prefer my chicken wings deep fried, but the air fryer does a really, really good job, better than really any other way I've tried, maybe besides deep frying, as just one example. So it does what it's supposed to do, and it does it pretty well. It heats up very quickly. So when you turn on your air fryer, let's say you want to air fry something at 375 Fahrenheit, a regular oven might take 10, 15 minutes to heat up to that. An air fryer takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes. So you're not spending time preheating, and they don't throw off a lot of heat. So you're not going to be heating up your space too badly with an air fryer. So those are the biggest advantages, I think, to having an air fryer for a home cook. However, I do think there are some very serious isn't the right word, but there are some drawbacks to having an air fryer, which I think you as a home cook, you should really be aware of, whether you're thinking of getting one. Well, if you've already got one, you've probably already run into these. But here's what I would say are the drawbacks. And ironically, one of the drawbacks is actually one of its features, and that's the small size. So while it's small is great and it fits into places and you can cook small batches of food, that's not so great if you've got a lot of people to cook for. So if you have a family of 4 or more people, I don't think I would ever probably air fry anything just because you can't fit a lot of food in the basket. And with an air fryer, if you're feeding more than 3 people, you're probably going to have to get used to cooking in batches. In fact, even in this cookbook, The Air Fry Everything by Meredith Lawrence, practically every recipe, I'm exaggerating, probably at least half of the recipes, maybe 2/3 of the recipes, call for cooking things in batches because you just can't cook a lot of food at once. In fact, just yesterday, I made some chicken tenders for my son, where I cut some breasts into strips and then breaded them. I can only cook three at a time in the small air fryer that I have. So to give him like four or five chicken tenders, I had to cook two batches. And what would have ordinarily taken about 10 minutes in the air fryer now took 20 minutes because I had to, again, cook in batches. So keep that in mind. I know there are larger air fryers out there, but again, it's not like you're going to be cooking a whole chicken or a turkey in one of these things. So, or four hamburger patties at once. They're not going to fit in an air fryer. If you have four people you want to feed hamburgers to, you're probably going to have to make two batches of two patties. So keep that in mind. Also, remember, it doesn't replace frying in fat. This is a convection oven we're talking about. So if you have foods that you really want to utilize deep fat frying, things with batters and the like, this is not going to be a solution for you. And then I would say the other drawback, and this isn't so much a drawback as it's just a limitation of what the air fryer promises. And that is, you can do a lot of what an air fryer can do without an air fryer. Again, we're talking about convection cooking. So if you have a convection oven, you can get pretty darn close to what an air fryer can do in that. So the air fryer doesn't really present new methods of cooking or new solutions, or it doesn't really replace any other appliances or gadgets that you have. But what it does do, convection roasting, it does pretty well given its limited size. So just keep that in mind as well. This isn't something that you're missing out on. You're not missing out on particular foods and recipes because you don't have an air fryer. Let me put it like that. So my bottom line with air fryers, I think they're a great appliance. I think they're a fun addition to the home kitchen. But I wouldn't necessarily say rush out and get one. It will change your life. I think if you're a single person, or if you're cooking for two, or if you're looking at this for a college age student or somebody just setting out on their own apartment, first apartment, this could be a really great tool. If I was single and the only person I was cooking for, I'd be making all sorts of stuff in it. But I'm not. So I think my air fryer will probably see limited work. So also, if you're thinking of saving up your money, you're looking to get an Instant Pot, or you want to grab that new high-speed blender, or you just need some new pots and pans, I would put all of those personally in front in the line, in front of an air fryer. Again, not to say it's not a great appliance. I just am not sure it's as revolutionary as the marketers would have you believe. All right, everybody, I'm about out of time for today's episode, so I'm going to wrap it up there. I wanted to give you an introduction to air frying. I hope I didn't say the word convection more than 1,000 times, although in retrospect, it felt like I did. But I didn't want that point to be lost. So hopefully that was a mission accomplished. Again, show notes, kitchencounterpodcast.com/138. I will give you links to that cookbook and links to some other air fryers and recipes if you're interested. Okay, well, that is then going to do it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Remember, as I mentioned, I'm going to have that New Orleans recap with my brother Randy soon, I promise, and a smorgasbord episode soon, I promise. And remember, if you want to get a hold of me, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com is the best email to use. Or head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group and check out our awesome Facebook group. And I appreciate it. Share it with your friends and family. If you get some value out of this show, go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating or review if you're so inclined. But you know what? I'm just happy you're here and you're listening, and that's all I really want. So thank you so much. All right, everybody. Until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.